We enjoyed a study this morning in the book of Isaiah, and I think it's important at times to read some of these Old Testament books, and initially you wonder what is really in it for you. But I trust we've discovered from this morning that every part of this divine word is inspired from page or from cover to cover. It doesn't really matter where we touch in the Word of God. It is living, and it speaks to you and I today. So we took a quick overview of chapter 40 and commented that, in a sense, the book of Isaiah is a little bit like the Bible in miniature, because it has 66 chapters, which in a sense remind us of the 66 books of the Bible. And coming to chapter 40, we're into that new covenant, that new phase where we're told and exhorted to behold your God. Now, I had in my mind when I was planning and preparing that we would move on to another behold in Isaiah, but sometimes the wifely wisdom is good, and she felt I'd be chewing off far too much for a Sunday night, so better just to summarize something of what was done this morning, because just quickly, for those of you who may not have been here, we looked at 10 characteristics of God in Isaiah chapter 40, and I just would recommend that you go back and review them in case I forget. He is the God of all comfort. That's an amazing start to Isaiah chapter 40, and he's there to comfort you and me. Then he is the God of new beginnings. You see, he's always the God of the second chance. It doesn't matter where we're at in life or what we're facing, God is able to turn everything around because he is God and we can trust him in every situation. He is the God whose word stands forever. What else in this world is permanent? It's all passing and transient, isn't it? Just like you and I, but God's word stands forever, immovable, eternal, totally dependable. And then we found he is the God who is coming. He's the God who intervenes in our lives. And praise God, what a future we have when he comes to the air, and then when he comes to reign, he is the God who always fulfills his purpose. One of the touching parts of Isaiah 40 we thought of was, he is the God of such diverse characteristics. You see, in God alone, he's described, I don't want to go off on another topic here, but Revelation chapter 4, when you enter the throne room of God and you look upon the throne sitter, he is described to be like a precious stone, like a jasper or a sardine stone. And I'm not sure about you or I, but as you take one of those precious stones that I've rarely had the privilege to do, you can turn it in the light, and what happens? You just see beautiful colors and reflections in that stone. And that, in a sense, is a little bit like the diversity of our God. Every way you look at him, he is unique and awesome. And in Isaiah chapter 40, yes, he is coming in amazing power to reign. But he's also the shepherd who picks up the lambs and holds them close to his heart. How can you not be awed by the greatness and the sensitivity of our God? Number 6, we found he is the creator of everything. It just cries out his power and majesty. He picks up, you saw something just here of Jordan's presentation. He just picks up the whole of this world like a grain of sand. He is so immense and powerful. Sadly, most people in our world today no longer recognize him as being there. let alone being the creator. He alone is the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and we need to learn that every day of our lives. No one has ever taught him anything. Nobody has ever given him advice. He alone is worthy of all honor and praise. And then the last two, he is incomparable, having no equal. He states that himself. Have you not known? Have you not heard? I am the everlasting God. He is absolutely incomparable, and he is the source of all power and strength. You see, if we're struggling in life, the climax of that chapter is this: those who rest, those who trust in the Lord, wait in total dependence upon him. Yes, they're worn out. Yes, they're tired. Yes, they're at the end of their rope, whatever way you may want to say it. But he enables them to soar on wings like eagles and to see things from his perspective. He allows them to run the race that is set before them and not grow weary. And he allows them to walk every step with him and not faint. Wow, what a God. So as I say, I had in my mind to dip into another big section in Isaiah. And just sitting thinking this afternoon, I felt, well, let's summarize the same idea. Just to really cement this in our minds and in our hearts today. And instead of digging deeper into another section of Isaiah, perhaps we'll have opportunity another time. Let's come to Psalm 86, and it's really a similar concept that just lays out to us our God in his awesome greatness and majesty. Let's read the verses, and then we'll go through and just select a few things for us to think about tonight. Psalm 86, verse number 8. Reads like this: among the gods, notice that's a small g, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. Wasn't that the whole purpose of Isaiah 40? To show to us that he is absolutely supreme and unique. He is beyond compare. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. Nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And so from that section, I've pulled out the title here, our first slide, All Nations Shall Worship God. Verse number 10, for you are great. That's just an absolute statement, isn't it? You are great. Whatever timeline you're looking at, the past, the present, or the future, this stands supreme. The psalmist says, you are ever presently great. You are great. And do wonderful things. In his greatness, he does wonderful things. And so he alone is God, magnificent in his unique power and greatness. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, as we shall see, coming to appreciate the greatness of God. What is the impact in my life? It's to know more of him. Teach me your way, O Lord, so that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Just give me one heart to fear your name, to uplift and to honor you. I will praise you, O Lord my God. What a purpose. I will praise you, O Lord my God. Isn't that amazing? He's my God. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. Why, verse 13, for great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, or hell. Let's just quickly take a few thoughts from this section, and I trust it will summarize something of this morning and just follow us in the same direction and meditation. Firstly, all nations shall worship God. That is the title for our topic. Verse 8, I just want to take out of that thought, that verse, there is none like you, O Lord. Why, he is incomparable. We need to fully appreciate that today. God is incomparable, and we'll think about that shortly. Verse number 9, the thought that jumps out to me is this, as we've titled, all nations. That's totally inclusive, isn't it? All nations shall come and worship before you, O Lord. His purpose in that is unstoppable. Doesn't matter how you view our world today, there is a time coming when all nations will come and worship before him. Verse number 10 follows on with this statement, you are great and you alone are God. His greatness is unsearchable. It will take us the whole of eternity to search out the greatness of our God. And so leading from that, the psalmist says in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, because you are so great and awesome. Teach me your way. And may we come to realize that his way is absolutely perfect. Verse 12, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. His praise is eternal. So I just want to focus very quickly on those five thoughts this evening, just to tie our study together from Isaiah this morning. There is none like you, O Lord. Absolutely unique and awesome in his purpose. You see, Satan's plan has always been what? Satan's key design in this world has always been to try and diminish the greatness of God. Try and detract our hearts from giving him the place that he is worthy of. There is none like you. And so that is the battle in our lives, to try and replace this awesome God with something that is absolutely nothing in comparison. That is Satan's ongoing design in our lives. He's therefore introduced in our lives so many false so many false gods or idols to try and take the place of God. We thought in Isaiah, he presented the foolishness of man. He cuts down a tree and he uses the first part to warm himself, the second part to make a fire to cook for himself, then the third part he makes into an image and he bows down to worship it. How foolish, trying to take the place of God. You can look out in our world today. How many false religions are there? How many so other ways are there? Satan has it sewn up. But the question that comes to you and I this evening from this section, does God still have the first place in our lives? There is none like you, O Lord. Because we need to understand that each day of our lives, does he have the first place? You see, every day is a new battle in our lives. Every day there's another distraction. Every day there's another so-called idol to take our attention. Does he still have the first place in our lives? Or have we lost or forgotten our first love? It's very interesting as the Lord Jesus speaks to that church at Ephesus. There are so many rich commendations of that church. But he comes to this point, I have something against you. you have left your first love. You see, the very first and primary commandment of all in the Old Testament is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. To make him the number one in everything. Is there truly none like him in our lives today? Let us remember, anything this world can offer is nothing by comparison with God. He is far greater than anything this world can ever offer. You know those well-known words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What can this world offer? Satan came to Christ and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, all of these things I will give you. Just bow down and worship me. And I don't think that was exclusive for Christ alone. But there is nothing that can compare to the greatness and glory of God. Let's remember, he is incomparable. Nobody is like our God. Number two in verse 9, this is a beautiful statement. Because he is absolutely incomparable, all nations shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and glorify your name. You see, as we look out on our world today, that seems to be so far from the truth. But dear child of God, let's hang on to this purpose of God. He is the one who controls all things, and there is a day when every nation that he has made will come and worship before him. Let's take heart today. It's not lost. It's not over. All nations will come and worship before him. Is that how I'm praying in my life? Or have I given up and thinking it's all over? You see, God has a purpose that is unstoppable. He shall receive the praise and the glory that he is worthy of. It doesn't matter how you think. If God says something, it will surely take place. How do I know that? Or can I just give you a couple of examples? You see, when Christ was born, this started to become a reality. Where was he born? He was born in the nation of Israel. Who should have been the first people to come and worship him at his birth? It should have been the Jewish people. But here is this unstoppable purpose of God, and he takes the wise men from the east, from other nations, to come and to worship the Christ who's been born. You see, it's the incarnation of Jesus Christ that is going to cause all of this to take place, the fulfillment of his promise. And as you go throughout the Gospel of Matthew, it starts with the wise men and it continues with worship. And then Jesus Christ on the mountain sends forth his disciples and he says, go into all the world, to all the nations, and make disciples. Why? Because the day is coming when all nations will come and bow before him. But in order for them to come and bow before him, there's the commission to go. May the Lord help us in this coming week and days ahead. Perhaps God is working through your life, through my life, someone we have contact with, to make them a worshiper of the living God. To come to realize who he is, because that will have its fulfillment in Revelation 5 when people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation will surround the throne and worship him. And wonder of all wonders, you will be a part of that. And I will be a part of that because he has said, all nations shall come and worship before you. How does that impact me now, today? What is our greatest role here in life? Is it not to worship him? Sometimes we feel God is after who we are and what we can do for him. But in reality, the greatest thing that God is after is our hearts, is our devotion, is our worship, is our total commitment to him. Can I just go off on a tangent very quickly here? The Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John tells us a number of things about worship. And there's this interesting account of the man who was born blind. And the Lord Jesus gives him his physical sight. But you see, he doesn't just want to open his physical eyes. And as we come to the end of John chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he did what? And he worshipped him. You see, the very first response from a new convert is amazement to the greatness of God, being brought face to face with Jesus Christ, to know him as Lord and Savior, and that results in this outpouring of your heart in praise and honor to him. He worshiped him. You see, worship isn't just the movement of our lips. Worship is the true response of our hearts, having seen something of the greatness and the glory of God. And for the first time, that blind man recognized who Jesus Christ was, and he bowed in worship before him. Is that just on conversion day? No, I think that's every day of our lives. He is seeking for that total commitment, worshiping him. You don't need me to remember in the Gospel of John, the Father is seeking for worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. This will be an absolute reality. God's purpose is unstoppable. Yes, Satan is seeking the praise, the worship of men in this world today. But the day is coming when our awesome God, his purpose will be fulfilled. All nations shall come and worship before him. Very quickly, verse number 10 says, "You are great. You do wonderful things." And isn't it when we realize something of the greatness of God that there will be that desire and longing to worship him? "You alone are God." We've seen this morning in Isaiah 40 the fullness of this statement. Our God is eternally and absolutely great in every way, far beyond human imagination. And that is the problem with our world today. We try to bring God down to our level, and he's far above and beyond anything that we can ever think or do. Just chatting briefly with Kevin this morning, Psalm 113 is so beautiful. He lives outside of time and space. He has to humble himself to behold these immense galaxies of space. We have such a limited understanding of who God really is. Yes, in our minds, there's the galaxies we've been seeing. God says, "Oh, that's just the breadth of my hand." He is so awesome in his greatness, far beyond our human imagination. I want to just think very quickly. Again, this is so beautiful in the life of the Lord Jesus, is it not? Because one of the statements that the angel made to Mary at the time of the announcement of his birth, "He shall be." Oh, I trust our hearts have got hold of that statement. He shall be great. You can look at the whole life of Jesus Christ and see that greatness in so many different facets and ways. Yes, great in his humility that he came into this world, but great in his revelation of the heart of God, great in his teaching, great in his power, great in his healing, great in his work at the cross, great in his resurrection. And today, he is great in his work of building his church. He shall be great. How about the future? You see, there will be no other name. He shall be great. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because of that incredible fact of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, you and I have been brought into such a great salvation. Oh, dear child of God, let's have our hearts warmed by the Spirit of God again this evening. We have such a great salvation because it is based upon such a great Savior. You see, we have this great salvation. Having seen his greatness in this world, just a few moments of time, what lies before every child of God? What will eternity be like? Because you see, in this world of time, we speak about seeing, don't we? And if you've seen, that is the fullness of understanding. And yet perhaps outside of this time, in eternity, there's even a higher level of understanding that goes beyond our sight and our vision. Eternity, we will fully understand the greatness of our God. His greatness is unsearchable. And once we start to understand that, there is that longing and desire in our hearts to know him more and more. Let's move on. Verse number 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Having understood that he is beyond compare, having understood that all the nations will come and worship before him, having understood something of his greatness, truly our heart's desire is to walk in his way. To walk in his truth. You see, he doesn't leave us on our own. He is a wise and faithful teacher. He is there to guide us in the way. Let me direct you quickly to that verse in Psalm 73, verse 24, the teacher. This is written by someone whose feet had almost slipped. He was almost taken out of the way by the apparent success of those who do not know God. And he asked the question, how is it? What do I have in God? Let me just come in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. How beautiful. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. You see, you have a God who holds us by our right hand. He's not going to let us go. And he is a God who will guide us with his counsel. He will teach us. He will guide us. And having guided us with his counsel, he will receive us into glory. Wow. He is a loving and faithful teacher. We're therefore called to be yoked with the Lord Jesus each and every day. He comes to us to give us that eternal rest. But then day by day, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let me teach you through every step of the way. I'm right there with you in life, and you will find rest for your souls. He's a God who teaches every step of the way. His truth sets us free. Isn't that amazing? We were bound in slavery. We were bound by the deception of this world. But His truth sets us free. And the Holy Spirit in our lives is the Spirit of truth. And He leads us into all truth. And I just ask the simple question, am I walking in God's way and in His truth? He has a way for each and every one of us. And can I say His way is perfect? Why is that? Because God, in His very being and person, is absolutely perfect. And because He is perfect in His way, His desire and His teaching in your life and mine is to make our way perfect. Verse number 12, I will praise You, O Lord my God, and glorify Your name forever. What a goal in life, to praise Him and to glorify His name forever. You see, the automatic result of experiencing God's greatness and walking in His way is truly to praise Him, isn't it? To see something of His greatness, His leading in my life. Why would He be concerned with someone like me? You see, Jordan has shared, we're just a dot on the map. We're nothing. And yet He is concerned about me. He's teaching me. He's guiding me in His way. And because of that, we will praise Him. Verse 13 gives us another reason why our hearts are full of praise to Him. Great is Your mercy towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. I will praise You and glorify Your name. Is this really the center and purpose of my life? To praise Him, to glorify Him. Remember, as it's been stated before, man's chief aim, chief purpose in life is to glorify God. That's a high goal, isn't it? Far better than anything I can do is to exalt Him. His praise is eternal. So I just wanted to leave those thoughts with you this evening, not to delve into another complete topic, but just cause us again this evening to think upon something of the greatness and glory of God. Because in life, we're so often taken up with our situation, with our worries and our fears, and that situation just becomes so huge in our mindset. And so on the contrary, or because of that, we seem to make God so small in our situation. But when we start to see the greatness of God for who He is, then our situation and circumstance is seen in perspective as so small and so temporary. And so I just leave that with us this evening. May we truly know in our lives that God is incomparable. His purpose is unstoppable. Doesn't matter what the world may claim and may say today. His greatness is unsearchable. His way is perfect, even though at times we don't realize it. His way is perfect. And so, His praise is eternal. We will praise Him forever and ever. Let's bow before Him. Father, just thank You again for a few brief moments to look into Your Word, to think briefly from our human perspective, from our failing wisdom, from our hearts that so often fail to offer the praise and honor that You are worthy of. Just to be confronted again today with the greatness, the majesty, the glory of who You are. want to praise you that for all eternity we will grow in our knowledge of you and be amazed for who our Savior is. He is great and greatly to be praised. Help us through this week as we have opportunity to speak of him. May others be brought into the family of God to recognize the greatness of who you are. And Father, to be amongst that huge, innumerable crowd of people who will surround the throne from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Just commit to you those in the family here who have needs, who are struggling in their way, who are burdened, who have health issues. We bring them all before you. Be exalted, O Lord. We bow with praise and with worship in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.